We're going to be looking today at Luke chapter 5 in our broadcast, and we want to thank you for tuning in today. We're going to begin reading in verse 33 of Luke chapter 5, and the subject that we're going to spend some time with today is fasting and the question that Jesus was asked about this subject. So let's begin reading here in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But the new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth the new, for he saith, The old is better. Now, I know that there are several figures, there are several illustrations that Jesus uses here. And before we get into those illustrations, it's important for us to remember the point that Jesus is illustrating. When he talks about the bridegroom and the children of the bride chamber, when he talks about a new garment and an old, when he talks about old wineskins and new wineskins, and he uses this final illustration here, remember that he is answering their question. And so if we want to understand what these illustrations are about, we're going to have to remember what the question was about. The question was about fasting. And these scribes and Pharisees want to know why Jesus' disciples are not fasting like the disciples of John the Baptist and like the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples not fasting like these other disciples are? And that's why Jesus goes into this subject here. Now, before we look at some of those illustrations and look at what Jesus says, let's look at the Bible for just a few minutes. And let's talk about the different kinds of fasting that we find in the Bible. Now, fasting is going without food and usually without food or water for some time. Why is that done according to the Bible? Well, in the first place, you find that some fasting is doing without anything to eat because there was no food. It's simply out of necessity. It's not a chosen thing. It's not a decision where a person says, well, I'm just not going to eat anything for the next day or two. It was out of necessity. It was because of the circumstances. And so, for instance, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, Jesus said that he did not want to send the multitude away fasting because they didn't have anything to eat. Now, of course, we know that Jesus took care of that situation and he fed them. But at the time, before he performed that miracle and fed them, they were fasting, and it was out of necessity because they did not have anything to eat. So sometimes you find that the word fasting describes a situation where a person just doesn't have anything to eat or he doesn't have enough to eat. Then there's a second kind of fasting in the Bible, and I'm going to call this an almost natural kind of fasting or going without food and water. And it occurs especially in times of grief and times of sorrow. For instance, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read about David having a child that was very sick. And that child was at the point of death. Now, David was very concerned. He was afraid for the child's life. And the Bible shows that this was a time of grief and sorrow for David. And David refused to eat. Even though his men tried to get him to eat, he would not do that. Why? Well, it just wasn't the time. It was not something that he wanted to do. He was not hungry. He was not inclined to do that. And it also occurs in the Bible at the death of people. For instance, the Bible talks about the men of Jabesh-Gilead in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 12. When Saul the king and his sons died, they fasted for 7 days. Now, I believe this oftentimes takes place today. I believe that people fast, even though they don't call it fasting, when there is the death of a loved one. Oftentimes, when a loved one dies, You just don't feel hungry. You don't want to eat. And sometimes well-meaning and well-intentioned people say, well, you need to eat. Well, according to the Bible, it's a common, and I believe a natural thing, not to want anything to eat when you've had that kind of trauma in your life. When somebody close has died, then you really don't feel hungry. You don't want to eat. At least many times you don't. So that is a form of fasting according to what the Scriptures teach us. And then you also find that this fasting is somewhat of a natural thing when people are really expressing sorrow for sin. For instance, in Jonah chapter 3, the king said that the people were to fast because there was an outcry because of the sins of the people. There was great sorrow being expressed because of their sins. In those kinds of situations, it's somewhat natural not to want anything to eat because we are focusing on the guilt of our sins and we simply don't have that kind of desire. Now, there's a third kind of fasting, and I think that this is what really interests people and people have questions about, and this is the kind of fasting that the scribes and the Pharisees are asking Jesus about his disciples, and they want to know why Jesus' disciples are not doing this. There is some fasting in the Bible that is chosen in connection with major trials, major challenges, or important works in the Christian life. At these times, it's usually mentioned in connection with prayer. So in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, when Moses went up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, the Bible says that he went without food and water. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8, Elijah was fasting. In Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is fasting and praying because he is really concerned about something and he's praying to God. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus told his own disciples that the only way that some of these demons could be cast out was through prayer and fasting. They really had to separate their minds from ordinary concerns and distractions of life in order to focus and to concentrate on what they were doing. And then later in the book of Acts, for instance, in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, when Paul and Barnabas are about to be sent out on that missionary journey, the Bible says they fasted and they prayed. Why? Because they were about to do something very important. In Acts 14, verse 23, we find that when they had ordained elders in the church and fasted and prayed. So the fasting there was choosing to go without anything to eat for a certain amount of time, and the Bible does not specify how long. It could have been for a part of a day. It could have been for the whole day. It could have been for a few days. But the Bible does not specify and regulate on that topic. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, Paul is talking to husbands and wives here about intimacy in marriage. And he says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, that is, don't deprive each other of this intimate aspect of your relationship, except it be with consent for a time. Probably a time of severe trial, a time of real hardship. That's the kind of temporary exception that he's talking about here. And he says that you're to do that so that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And so notice how many times in the Bible, when the Scriptures talk about fasting, they also talk about prayer in the same breath. And so we have it here in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5. And so Paul says that there are times of trial in marriages where the couple really need to give themselves to special spiritual meditation. They really need to get away from the distractions and the diversions of life, and they need to set their hearts and minds on doing what's right, praying to God and fasting, as he says here in 1 Corinthians 7 and verses 1 through 5. So again, the Bible does not regulate this. The Bible does not give a specific commandment saying that people have to do this. It more or less just builds on what the Bible says in the Old Testament that people were doing it anyway, and then it talks about the different situations where people did it in the New Testament and the situations where it's especially appropriate, and those are some of the verses that we read just now. So let's look again at Luke chapter 5 here, and let's see what he's talking about in Luke chapter 5 when he responds to the question of these scribes and these Pharisees. Now the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fasted often and they made prayers. That means they lived a very rigid life of self-discipline. And the Pharisees especially had so many rules that their religion was a burden to them and to other people. Jesus' disciples at this time did not follow such a regimented routine. They ate and they drank, but they did not fast like the disciples of John and the Pharisees did at this point. This was the routine that they were used to. And if Jesus had tried to make them observe a schedule of fastings and prayers that were on a set and regular basis, those demands would not have been fitting or appropriate. So they needed time to adjust to the trials that they were going to face. They were still babes at this point and needed time to grow. And too much, too fast, would have discouraged them. And besides that, these disciples of Jesus traveled a lot. And so fasting would not have been suitable for that much travel. And also, they needed to be with Jesus, helping him and learning from him a lot more than they needed to be mostly alone praying and fasting. And so Jesus said, they're going to fast all right, but not now. They will fast later, and that simply means after Jesus ascends back up into heaven. Now let's notice these illustrations that Jesus uses here in Luke chapter 5 to make this point. He uses, first of all, the illustration of a groom and his friends. Now, the friends of the groom are called the children of the bride chamber. Now, this represents Jesus and his disciples. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the children of the bridegroom are the disciples. And so Jesus says, while the bridegroom is there, the friends of the bridegroom are not going to fast. But after the bridegroom is gone, then they're going to fast. That means as long as Jesus is with the disciples didn't have the need and it would not have been fitting for them to fast like John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples did. But he says that day is going to come, and that would be after his ascension, of course. The next illustration that he uses is putting a piece of new cloth on an old garment. If you do that, Jesus says, all that's going to happen is you're going to make the tear worse. Because it doesn't agree, it doesn't match, and it's not fitting. The next illustration that he uses is putting new wine into old bottles. Now, the word bottle there in the King James Version brings to our mind something like a glass bottle, but these were not glass bottles. These are wine skins. These are the skins of animals that are being used as flasks. And so what he says is that if you put new wine, that is, unfermented wine, into old bottles, those old wineskins have already stretched as much as they're going to, and so when the wine begins to ferment, it's going to expand and burst those wineskins. Now, the whole point about this is that this shows again that the word wine sometimes in the Bible refers to unfermented grape juice, because that's the whole point of the illustration here. But again, this is an illustration, folks, and what he's saying here is that you don't take the new and try to push it onto the old. The old was the work that they were doing with the Lord, the kind of routine that they were used to as his disciples, and the new that he's talking about here is trying to push a strict routine on them that they were not ready for and that would actually do more harm than it would good. And so that's the purpose of these illustrations that we see in Luke chapter 5. Well, our time has come and gone. I've enjoyed studying with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.